a good prayer, isn't it? We, you know, we have the fruit of the Spirit on the wall there. I think a lot of times we struggle. Be a little more like that, a little less like me. So we come to the table, there's some work to be done, isn't there? There's some construction to be done, some deconstruction to be done, right, Eric?
Yeah.
You can't build the new stuff till you take the old stuff down, right?
And disappear.
And disappear. You can't. I'm going to read from John's scripture, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. You can follow along. You can join me. Eventually, oh, here it comes. Look at that. I must know where I was going. John 13, 1 through 5 says, why did he wash their feet? You know what scripture says? You got it? I thought you knew this one by heart. I do. Oh, because I studied it this week. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that the hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come back, he laid aside his outer being a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do not wash my feet. Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done for to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. For so I am. If I then, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So why did he wash their feet? Because they were dirty? Yep. See, there was a custom. They didn't have shoes like we. And they walked around the dirty roads. Your feet got dirty. And when you reclined at the table, you didn't sit in a chair like we do. There was kind of pillows on the floor, and everybody's feet kind of went under the table, and, you know, their feet were dirty. And generally, when you threw a dinner, you had assigned somebody to do the feet washing, a slave or a servant or something. Well, why this night wasn't anybody available to wash their feet? Why not? Luke tells us why. If we look into Luke's gospel, which is a parallel passage, we find out that the disciple had something else on their mind. Luke 22, 24 says they began to argue amongst themselves who would be the greatest among them. Oops. Do we ever get distracted that way? Do we ever get distracted that way? What was on the disciples' mind at dinner? Who was better than the other guy, right? We're swapping stories. I can top that. Everybody knows somebody, right? That no matter what you say or what you've been through or what you accomplished, they did something better, right? Top me, Tom. That's his name. I can top that. I went, right? Always happens in the racing world, right? The minute you share a story, somebody did something stupider than you did, you know. And here's the disciples. They're all sitting around a table arguing. Who's better? Who's better? Jesus looks around. All right, I guess I'll wash their feet. Gets up, assumes the position, and washes their feet. You ever get to one of those moments in your life where the light goes on? And he said, oops. Gets kind of quiet, doesn't it? Christ demonstrated that that master is a servant. Sometimes we think more of ourselves than we ought to. And we think we're here and deserve to be served. And Jesus says, nah, that's not it. Now, I'm not sure who her is, because it looks like I can't spell. There should be another E in there, I think. But he returned their attention to him, not themselves. Did God ever do that in your life? Does God ever do something and all of a sudden, oh man, I wasn't looking at the right thing? I pray that he does it while I can still do something about it, but he's kind of funny that way. Usually I'm somewhere else and that the light goes on and I sit there and say, I missed it. I missed an opportunity. I got to pay more attention to what's going on outside of this. I'm sure the room got pretty quiet. Just imagine for a moment. Has anybody had their feet washed? Come on, ladies. Come on. I did once. As a Valentine's Day present to my wife, I went with her and got a mani pedi. I got clear. The ladies washing my feet. Nobody had ever washed my feet before. Now, got ticklish and I'm nervous about it. But think about it. Just that picture. The hands of Christ. You're not just anybody. But the hands of Christ bowing down and washing your dirty feet. Do you think he had some other things to think about that night? Even with the weight of the world on his shoulders, he addressed their physical need. How many times can we get outside of ourselves to meet the need of somebody? A physical need, a real need, not just a perceived need or not what we think they need, but it kind of sets a pretty high standard, doesn't it? When we talk about the suffering servant, I think Christ could have been excused for just sitting there and, oh man, it's going to be a rough night. Man, I got some stuff to do tonight. It's just gonna, you know, right? Wouldn't you think that with everything on his mind, he would have said, hey, Peter, grab the basin there. Come on, wash our feet, will you? Right? And it wasn't like that's not what they did previously, because they took turns washing each other's feet at other dinners. But tonight they were so preoccupied on who was better than the other one that it totally slipped their mind. Who made the preparations for the Last Supper? No. Who made the arrangements? Who got the room? Who made the reservation? Jesus did. God did. He put it all in place. And he knew that he didn't put anybody there to wash their feet, because he knew that's what he was going to do. What do we learn what do we learn from that? Now, I've done that. I was put into a ministry situation, into a community that I was a stranger. And I was asked to minister to them, to lead them, to teach them. And I prayed about it. I said, Lord, how can I convince them that I'm not here to tell them what to do, that I'm here to serve? And so I sent word out to, as Christ prepared for the Last Supper, I sent word out to the village, and I said, I want three pastors in chairs up front. And they didn't know what was going to happen. And I washed their feet. It was humbling. But moms know this already. Moms know what it's like to take care of the children. But I think more than that, we need to learn what it's like to take care of each other. We need to do the dirty work. Did he even wash the feet of Judas? Wow, think about that. Think about that. Did Christ even wash Judas's feet? Did. Hey, if there's one guy that you could have left dirty feet, right? Right? It's not about whether we deserve it or not, is it? Not about any of that. Then he comes to Peter. Peter's a good guy because Peter's transparent. Peter doesn't mix words. Peter just tells you what he thinks, right? We all know the stories about Peter. It says, when Jesus came to Simon, Peter said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. You ain't wash my feet. Jesus replied, you don't understand what I'm doing. But someday you will. Do we have people in our lives that don't want to be served? You know, the largest category of people who don't like to be served is pastors. Pastors have the hardest time letting other people serve them because they're the servants. You can't serve me. I got to serve you. He said, you're not going to wash my feet. Oh, wait, I'll wash my own feet. No, Peter replied, you will never wash my feet. Unless I wash your feet, you have no place in me. So Jesus starts now to open this up a little bit, right? It's not about their feet are dirty anymore, is it? What's it about? We went from our feet to our heart, to our soul, right? In this transaction that takes place here, if you don't let me wash your feet, you don't have a part of me. What's Christ really want to wash? Our sins away, right? What is this about? It's about a symbolic gesture, walking away the dirt, washing away the grime, washing away what? All the stuff we get ourselves into, right? The road we've walked, the places we've been, the things we've said, the things we've done. And Christ says, if you don't let me wash you, you don't have a place with me. And Simon Peter, then wash my head and my hands, wash me all. And Christ says, no, you don't need to wash all. A person who is bathed all over doesn't need to wash except for his feet to be entirely clean. It is something, transaction that's happening here, and I'll read it through and then we'll explore a little bit. He says, and you disciples are clean, but not all of you, because he's referring to Judas. He says, for Jesus knew who would betray him. And that's what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. There's corruption, even in my disciples. Do we understand what he was talking about? Without the cleansing blood of Christ, we have no part of it. And then we wonder about the servant of Christ. And how many of us have refused to let Christ cleanse us? How many times have we refused to let him serve us? Accepted what he's done for us. He prepared this table. He invited us to the banquet. And he said, take part in me. Remember last week we did the Lord's Supper. Always remember what I am doing for you. Because in the bread and the wine, you have the body and blood of Christ. And it's not just a spiritual, but it's also a physical. There's a physical cleansing that took place. And then there's a spiritual cleansing that needs to take place. We are saved, but need to continue to be cleansed because we continue to sin. It's an ongoing process. Once you walk out that door, you get dirty. We don't so much with our feet. We don't wear sandals or bare feet or stuff. But we've been to places, Linda and I, where their feet are dirty. They're disgusting. They protect them. They keep away from everybody. They hide them because they're... Don't we hide our souls sometimes because they're dirty and disgusting? We need to be cleansed because we continue to sin. Without cleansing, the cleansing blood of Christ, we have no part in it. Only by humbly admitting our inabilities and allowing Christ to forgive us do we have a place with him. That's how we come to the table. Not because of what we can do, but because of what he did. Yeah, he washed our feet and he washed our soul. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and said, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. It says, you ought to wash each other's feet. Does that mean we're taking our shoes off today? We got a big bucket in the kitchen. No, it doesn't, but it means forgiveness. It means that we need to forgive one another. That because he forgave us, we ought to forgive. That forgiveness does what? Cleans up a lot of things, doesn't it? Remember back to Isaiah, what are some of the things that we're trying to clean up? Kind of knock some mountains down, fill some holes, right? Flatten out some stuff. Have you ever noticed that forgiveness goes a long way toward doing that? When we give the power to forgive others, it kind of smooths things out, doesn't it? Kind of straighten things out. And what do people see? What should they see? They should see the grace of God. They should see him, not us. Because it's not in us the power to forgive. It's in him. And it's his. And if we don't let him cleanse us, then it's not in us. So when Jesus says, do you understand? Do you understand? Do we? How many of us have been unforgiven? How many of us said, I'm going to forgive, but I'm not going to forget? Well, what good is that? So I still want control. Christ says, no, it's not about control. Christ set the example. And he said, wash each other's feet. Forgive each other. Serve each other. Not just the easy jobs. The dirty ones also. You know, there are some easy jobs, aren't there? There's some dirty jobs too. We need to walk alongside each other through the good and the bad and make a difference. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. couple weeks ago, we talked about faith is useless, dead without what? Action, right? Jesus said, and I don't have it in red. Maybe I ought to put what Jesus said in red so you know that he's talking. He said, now that you know this, do this. Okay? Now that you know this, do this. That was what he commanded his disciples. Are we any better than them? I challenge you. Do some foot washing this week. Make an effort to come alongside somebody. Maybe smooth some things out. Maybe it's for forgiveness. Maybe if you go pray in your heart and there, would you ask me? You know, maybe there's some physical foot washing to do, but maybe there isn't. Maybe there's some spiritual. Maybe you got to cleanse your soul of some spiritual stuff. No one is greater. Now we know. Blessed if we do. Amen? Amen. We don't need to go too far to find dirty feet, do we? Stained and bruised from the road of life. We need to walk alongside, helping them deal with the choices and decisions that have separated them from Christ. Amen. Corey, I think you're going without. Oh, wait a minute. We're back. We need to be ready to meet people where they are, humble ourselves, and take on the lowly, messy task of lifting someone up and cleaning them off. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing that. Amen. Amen.